on, just lift your hands and love him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Come on, church. Worship him. The Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Sometimes we just stand here thinking that God, by some lightning bolt, is just going to slap on our situation and just take it from us. Can I tell you something? It takes a willingness on your part sometimes to press in. That woman with the issue of blood, you know what? She struggled for years, but she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, she said, I know that I'd be made whole. And she pressed her way, the Bible says, through the crowd. Listen, you may have to press your way through something. You may say, Pastor, I don't have a praise this morning. Can I just tell you something? He awakened you this morning, and the fact that there's breath in your body says to you that there is a hope. There is a future. It's not over yet. God is in control of your life. God is in control of your life. He is the way maker. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we exalt you today as one who's able to do exceedingly abundantly. Above all, listen to this, church, that we could even ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. God, we exalt you today. We exalt you today, God. Just worship it. Come on, let something come from your mouth. Let something come from your mouth right now. Oh, we worship you, Lord. For the Lord would say unto his people, I am near the brokenhearted.
Yes.
I have not left you, declares the living God.
Yes.
I have not forsaken you. I love you.
Yes, Lord.
I love you with a love that is everlasting.
Yes.
You can run to the ends of this earth, says the living God. Yes. And I will be there. Yes, he will. Even as my servant David said, even in the depths, I am with you. Are you despaired? Are you troubled? Are you downtrodden? Look unto me, says the living God. Look unto me. Look not to this world. Look not to the things of this world.
Yes.
Look unto me, for I am everlasting, says the living God.
Yes, you are.
I am an omnipotent, says the living God. I am all powerful. And I can take care of any, says the Lord, situation.
Yes.
Any circumstances, look unto me, says the living God. Hallelujah. Worship him, church. Worship him. Worship him.
Yes.
Come on, worship him. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. And Father, we ask you to have your way. Have your way among us, God. Take your word now, God, that is already anointed. Take your word and speak to our hearts, God.
Yes.
Speak to our hearts, God. Many of us are bent over in circumstances. I pray for a listening audience, God.
Yes.
Those who are watching by way of a television screen, an iPad, an iPhone, whatever the case, God, would you just speak to their hearts as well? In the strong name of Jesus, we pray.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm excited for what God is doing in and through his church. Come on. Listen, it's bigger than this church. I'm excited for what God is doing in and through his church.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord spoke to my heart about speaking to you for the next few weeks. In the month of June, I'm going to be speaking on a series that I've simply entitled Stuff I Deal With. Stuff I Deal With. Pastor Gary, Pastor Miranda, would you help me here this morning? Stuff I Deal With. Today I want to talk to you about labels. Amen. Whether you know it or not, somebody's labeled you. Come on, come on. Come on, somebody's labeled you. Somebody has labeled you. They've labeled you. And I want to talk to you about that this morning. I want to turn to the Gospel of Luke as we look at the narrative of what, in that custom, in that particular day, many would have described this lady as the bent-over woman. Come on, help me here, Miranda. No, help me here. Just there you go, the bent-over woman. And there might have been a bent-over man. I mean, come on, a bent-over man. Just bent over. How about that? Married and bent over. Come on, somebody. Amen. A bent over. You guys are free to move around. I mean, just move around. As I read the text, I want you to just listen to what the Bible says in the Gospel of Luke chapter 13. It says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching. I'm in Luke 13, 10 to 17. It says, on the Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. Thank God there were multiple synagogues around the area, as we are. We live in a day today where there's a church on every corner. Make sure you lean down. Don't raise up. You ain't healed yet. And it says in verse 11, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit. Somebody say spirit. For 18 years, and she was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward. And he said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. Then he put his hands on her and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Hallelujah. And then comes the church. My goodness, check this out. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, there are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The Lord answered, you hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, and I love this parenthetical statement here, should not this woman, this daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted. Amen. And all the wonderful things he was doing. Amen. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would just visit us in power today. For many, Lord, are bent over. They may be standing upright, but there are folk in this building who are bent over in spirit. There's poor self-image in this room. There's low self-esteem in this room. There's people who've been labeled in this room. There are people, God, who need to be called out by you. And I thank you, God, for your faithfulness to position us in this text today. To speak to the hearts of people today whose hearts need to be spoken to hear your voice saying to us, stand up, daughter, or stand up, son. Yes. Father, I thank you for causing us today to come to our rightful place, to reach that place of hope fulfilled. We thank you for it in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Amen. You guys okay? You guys all right? No. You all right? Barely. Well, I'd help you, but I got to preach. Okay?
What are you experiencing right now?
Pain.
Gary, you okay?
I'm doing better than my wife, I think.
Okay. Listen, can you imagine with me 18 minutes. Can you imagine, not 18 weeks or 18 days or weeks or months, 18 years. Come on. You know, isn't it good that God will send somebody else who's been over to encourage you? Come on, give those guys a hand. Straighten up, man. Straighten up. That's rough, isn't it? That's rough. You don't listen. You try it at home. I did this last night. You try it at home. You can't go as long as you think you can. You say, well, all it is just this. If all it is just this, then you come up here for 3 or 4 minutes. I mean, it's not just all it is. You're not designed to be bent over. You're not. And let me tell you something else. God's plan for you is not to be bent over by some circumstance. Amen? We're going to look at this text this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. What do we have here in this 13th chapter of Luke's gospel? We have a healing story. We have a healing story. And matter of fact, Pastor David will get on a plane today, sometime later today. He'll get on a plane and he'll go to a land where he'll run into this. He's run into situations in other countries where people were born without certain organs. And God manifested organs. He's run into situations where people didn't have the proper joints and what have you, and everything was just kind of loose and limp, and it didn't have the ability to bend and have structure to it. Not people that had never stood before. And he's seen supernaturally, he's seen God visit that place and create joints and enable people to stand the way that they're supposed to stand. He's seen that with his eyes. Why? Because Jesus is still alive. As Travis said when he had the microphone, Jesus is still on the throne. He's not left the throne. He's still alive. He's still able to do anything. Amen? And so this is a healing story. There are many in the New Testament. There are approximately 25 healing stories in the New Testament, different healing stories. And in some ways, they're all alike. And perhaps there's a physical or mental or spiritual defect that is responsible here. But Jesus does what? Jesus heals. It's as if the gospel writers want to take us by the hand and say, hey, come and see. Come and see this man in John chapter 9. Come and see this one that was born blind. He was blind from birth. And Jesus gives sight back to this man. It's as if the gospel writers want to take us by the hand and say, hey, here in John 4, here's a little boy who has a tremendous fever and it has way exceeded what it should have been. And it looks like the fever is going to take him away. But Jesus intervenes and says to the man, your son is okay. And guess what? His son was okay. It's as if he wants to take us by the hand and say, come see a man who lives and abides in the cemetery and he takes objects and he cuts himself with stones. But Jesus makes a visit to the cemetery and guess what? It wasn't long before this man is in his right mind and he's functioning and he's no longer demonized. That's what the gospel writers want to do. They want to show us, they want to take us by the hand and show us stories, show us situations that took place where people were literally healed of their infirmities. Isn't this Jesus amazing? Isn't this Jesus wonderful? Doesn't he possess such love that he has passion and compassion to reach out to people? And here we have this story of this bent over woman. Look at verse number 10. On a Sabbath day, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. What was it like to go to church in the first century? Well, here's what it was like. There were synagogues all over the place. We've got them in America here. We've got churches on every corner. There's a church here, and if you go out of this door right here, guess what? Walk across the parking lot, and there's another church right there. And guess what? Walk a little farther beyond that church, and there's another church. There's eeny, meeny, miny, okay? I don't know where Mo is. God, raise up a Mo. Come on, somebody. And there's three churches right here on Catherine Creek Road, just pop, pop, pop. And you can go through a Hosky, and there's churches on every corner. And some of them are doing tremendous works, and some of them just want to be the big fish in the small pond. Let's just be honest. Some people just want to have their own church. Hello? There are churches everywhere. And in the first century, there were synagogues everywhere. And what would happen in the synagogue, if you can visit in your mind's eye this morning in the synagogue, the rabbi, if you will, was teaching in the center. And all around him, if you've been to one of those synagogues, I've visited them myself many times in my travels to Israel. And there's usually like a seating area on the side, all the way around the circumference of the building. There's just like a cement pew. And everybody was just seated, positioned in a perimeter all the way around. And so the rabbi would be available in the center, like I'm in the center of this platform here. And he would be able to walk and he would be able to talk to the people and teach them and speak to them. And yes, in the synagogue, there was interaction. The rabbi just didn't preach and never let any dialogue take place between he and someone else. There was dialogue there. There were questions that were imposed. There were issues that the rabbi would respond to. That's the way synagogue life was. But then there was the temple, and the temple was something different. The temple was where the sacrifices were offered. I was there just a few months ago. Pastor Joy and I, we walked down to the bottom of the Pool of Bethesda. And the Pool of Bethesda, I mean, you're standing there at the bottom, and you're looking up some 20, 30 feet above your head. It seems like it may not be that deep, but at least 15, 20 feet deep. The Pool of Bethesda's there, and we were at the bottom, and we were listening to the stories of how this is the place, because right over here, just yards away, is the temple. This is the place where the livestock were brought in, and all the animals were prepared and washed and taken from the Pool of Bethesda to the temple to be slaughtered. The sacrificial, Levitical sacrificial system. And in order to experience that Levitical sacrificial system, you had to go through the ceremonial washings and all of the individualized rules and regulations of the Levitical sacrificial system. And so you had the life in the synagogue and you had the life in the temple. You had the teaching and the instruction in the synagogue. And then you had the sacrifice in the temple. So here in this story, where are we? We're in the synagogue, and Jesus is doing the teaching. And what it means here is that there were crowds of people. We just had a story before you get to this story where some 5,000 people were gathered. So in all likelihood, we would surmise from the text that this little synagogue is packed. There's no more room. It's packed. People are in there listening to Jesus. And he's looking at people. You say, well, naturally he's looking at people. You're looking at us. And can I tell you, sometimes I see you and sometimes I don't. How many of you sitting here this morning have had me say to you in a Walmart or a Food Lion or something, hey, we missed you yesterday. And I got it wrong, didn't I? Hey, I missed you yesterday. And you say, I was there, Pastor. Nice, great message. So I got so I try to stop saying that. You know? Missed you. So if I send you a text sometimes, I say, did we miss you last Sunday? You know, like, I think we did, but I'm not quite sure. And so we have this idea of Jesus watching, and the Bible says he sees her. Well, naturally, he sees her, but what the point I'm making is that sometimes I see people, and then sometimes I see people in the spirit. Sometimes I see the person on the outside, but sometimes the Holy Spirit enables me to see on the inside, and I can see beyond what you see in the natural. That's a beautiful thing. Because you see, we in the church, listen, let's be honest. We in the church, we get up this morning and guess what? We put our very best on. Two or three people told me, Pastor, I love the shirt. I said, I rented it. Got to take it back tomorrow morning. Sometimes we see people and we just, you know, we just notice them. And then sometimes we see people. Sometimes we see their countenance. But I'll tell you what we're good at. We're good at dressing up and putting on nice clothes and spraying a little foo-foo juice on ourselves. And inside, we're a wreck. In fact, if you're not careful, sometimes the ones that are all demonstrative are the ones that are hurting the most. Sometimes the ones that are all visible are the ones that are struggling, saying, would you please pay attention to me? I don't get enough affirmation. Come on, somebody. So you got to be careful. You know, I got personality, so I have to be careful with that. Sometimes your personality is crying out for something other than what people think you're crying out for. So here we are, when we're in a position here where Jesus sees, and he sees a woman that, you know, I'm not sure she wants to be noticed. Maybe she doesn't really want to be noticed. You know what does it mean to be noticed? Sometimes it's good to be noticed, isn't it? Don't you remember when you were in school and you knew because you knew because you knew you had the answer and the teacher posed the question. You go, huh, me. Why? Because you got the answer, dog. And you want so badly to be noticed and picked, and then somebody else gets it. And you go, and then you try it again, because sometimes we want to be noticed. Or maybe you're at the ball game and there's a person, you know, operating a camera. And you're operating the camera and you know, over here, you want so bad to get in. And come on now, we live in a selfie age where we're, yeah. I mean, you know, you don't throw your hip out there like that all the time. And check out the one who stands in the mirror at home and goes. Lord, help me. Come on, you know you done it. And you know when you did it, you like what you saw. That's why you hit post. See there, Jesus is calling you right now to talk to you about that. Holy Ghost is ringing your phone. We love selfies. Sometimes we want to be seen. Like, remember when you were able to hit the ball and you got your parents' attention. Hey, Dad, watch this. And you hit that ball again. Because sometimes you want to be seen. But then there are other times when you really don't want to be noticed. Remember when you were driving to the store and you were in a hurry and the wife said, hey, pick up so-and-so, and you're going to get it, and you're just, man, you're just like a bat out of you know where. And you're heading down there, you know, and you got an anointing to drive. And all of a sudden you pull out in front of somebody and you hear the brakes and then, oh my goodness, what am I doing? And you pull into Walmart finally and discover that person you just pulled out in front of was actually going to Walmart too. So you quickly fake a call. Well, I tell you what, you know, because you ain't getting out of that car and going in, because they're going in the same place you were going. So you keep on faking like you talking, because you really don't want to be noticed. How many of y'all have done that scenario I just said before? I've done that before too. That's how I use it as an experience, because I've done that before, and I've actually gone on and parked and got out of the car and said, you know what, I want to apologize to you. I don't know what got into me, but I was just not driving well. And they say, oh, it's okay, Pastor Phillips. I said, oh God, please. Don't want to be known right now, okay? Sometimes you don't want to be noticed. But you know what? Jesus notices this woman. She's been over. And we're told that she's been suffering from this infirmity for 18 years. Verse number 11, and a woman was there who had been crippled, notice what it says, by a spirit for 18 years. She didn't get in a wreck on her camel. She didn't have a head-on collision between two donkeys. The woman was crippled, but she was crippled. And the origin of her crippling was what? Was spiritual. How many of you know the Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not but to what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Can I tell you something? There's a devil out there that is reaping havoc on people. Give me a little farther here. There's a devil out there that is reaping havoc on Christians. And sometimes we don't even recognize in the spiritual nature of things. I said to someone just this past week, I think it's spiritual in nature. Sometimes we want to figure it out in the natural, and it's not natural at all. Jesus notices this woman, and the Bible says that it's an evil spirit that was responsible. One translation says it like this. This infliction on her was from a demonic realm, and the word is translated a weak spirit. A spirit of weakening. Well, not just weakening, not because it was she was naturally worn, but a spiritually worn situation. It was demonic. I don't know about you, but I've had encounters with demons. You know, I don't like those appointments. I really don't. I don't like those moments where God somehow has allowed the demonic to visit me. You say, well, you mean God allowed that? Well, he's in control, isn't he? And sometimes I've had that encounter with that demon who's come into my room. And you know, the only thing I can tell you is in the name of Jesus, that spirit has to go. And listen, if you never have, let me tell you something. One thing I can tell you to remember, you better remember Jesus, honey. Because that is the only manner in which you will deal with demonic spirits. You can do everything you want to, but there's nothing other than the name of Jesus that will deal with demonic spirits. This translation says that this was a spirit of weakness. Can you imagine what it would be like to be unable to stand up for 18 years? I mean, everybody else is looking this way, and you're constantly looking down at your feet. Everybody else is just upward and looking all around and seeing the beautiful sky. But the only thing that you see as you walk is just the ground, the floor, the tiles, the dirt, the dust, people's feet that didn't even clip their toenails. Come on, somebody. Some folk got ugly feet. That's all you see. That's all this woman saw, was her life from her purview was just looking down at the bottom at all times. It's hard to communicate. We played with it just a moment ago up here, but it's hard to communicate. It's hard to speak. It's hard to do anything because you're in this awkward position. And guess what? It's not funny anymore. They reached a place where, you know, when they first started, it was like, oh, yeah, we'll help the pastor. But when I asked Miranda, how are you feeling? I'm in pain. This is not good. And it was just for a few minutes. 18 years. I knew a man like this. I knew a man like this. He was a watchmaker, a watch repairman in Edenton. And every day of his life was spent just like this. When you went into the store, you know, to look at you, this is what he did. You know, no ability to do anything else. When he tried to get a little bit of a glimpse of who you are, he has to crouch back like this. And then and only then he could just kind of see a little bit of you. To be bound like that for years. Some of you are shaking your head sitting right here this morning. And because you know what? There's no way, no earthly way that you can imagine what life would be like for that person who is bound like this for 18 years. But can I just tell you something? Some of y'all are carrying things you've been carrying for 18 years. Someone sitting in this room, others sitting in this room, are carrying things of a spiritual nature that you have been carrying for years. And today you have an opportunity to deal with it. There are people in this room that have been molested. Oh, Pastor, please do you have? There are people in this room that have been molested. There are, you, and the first thing you think of is, oh yeah, there are girls that have been molested. There are men in this room that have been molested. See? There are men in this room that when you were a young boy, you were violated sexually by another man. And you carry that. You're bent over for years in your spirit. You're bent over in your spirit, and you can't seem to deal with this. You can't seem to get beyond this. You know, you come to church. You try to function. You try to live. You try to live your way, your life in such a way that you've covered it. But the reality of it is every day of your life, you face it. You wish that it would go away, but it doesn't. And I remember the first time any kind of sexual thing was introduced to me. You know how old I was? 6. 6 years old. I remember it like it was yesterday. I could take you right to the very place when the first thing sexually that ever entered my ears happened. I know who was there. I know where we were. And guess what? You do too. You do too. Jesus saw this woman. Somebody says, well, yeah, she was bent over. Obviously, no, I'm not talking about that kind of see. Pastor David, he saw. He saw inside of this woman. Verses 12 and 13, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward. And he said to her, woman, you're set free from your infirmity. And then the Bible says that he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and she praised God. Jesus focuses his attention on this woman. And you know, we have to be careful with that. Remember as a kid, I'm not like any other kid. We were fascinated when we saw maybe someone who was Down syndrome, you know? And as a kid, you know what you do? You just look at them. Why do you look at them? You look at them because they are a little different than you. And you look, and what does your parents say? Help me here. Stop staring. But mama, and your mother, your father tries to, but don't stare at them, okay? I mean, come on, let's listen. I said to you earlier when we were talking about preaching today, we're talking about what? Labels. And there are people, listen, somebody said to me yesterday at the wedding, let's just be honest here, guys. Somebody said to me yesterday at the wedding, what's up, big guy? Thank you very much. But guess what? For obvious reasons, I've had that attached to me for years now. What's up, big guy? What about just, what's up? Okay? How about just, what's up? What's up, big guy? Okay? Somebody say, I love my pastor because he just preaches real. But this, listen, beloved, this is where we are. Okay? What's up, big guy? Let me just be honest with you, because some of you in this church, when you see me, you say the same thing. Hey, big guy, how you doing? You're not offending me when you do that, okay? Because when I get up in the morning, I look in the mirror, I say, good morning, big guy, okay? Hello, big guy. You know, I don't say it from my mouth, but the mirror reflects it back to me, okay? Oh, I mean, I could just be in denial and say, hey, shrimp, okay? You know, someone was prayed for at the altar here several weeks ago, and they were talking about how God supernaturally moved. And I said, well, who prayed for you? And you know what they said? They said the same thing that you would have said, because this is what? Human nature. They said the lady was real short. I said, oh, Mitzi? Mitzi, her brother Zacchaeus, okay? Okay. She's shorter than us, okay? And don't you think Mitzi loves it when the song comes out? Short people. No, she don't want to hear that song. Either than any more than I want to hear, hey, big guy. But you know why? That's a reality, because it's human nature. And let me ask you something. How do they label you? How do they label you? Because we do that, you know it? Can you think about this for a moment? This woman, you know, Jesus didn't say, hey, Tabitha, could you come to the front, please? No, nobody called her Tabitha. When they talked about her around town there near the synagogue, what do you think they said? They said, oh, the bent over woman. You know why? Because we're good at labels. What kind of labels do we have in society today? Oh, you've seen him before. Sits out there, mental guy. Sits out there talking to himself. Come on. Last week, everybody changed their tune. Everybody's loving Stanley. Now he's dying, you want to give him a name. Come on, guys. I'm thinking about going to his funeral, people are saying. Why? Did you ever stop by and sit and talk with him? I did. I fed him many times. Some of you fed him many times. Blessed him. Got a chance to get into his world and know him, okay? But we're bad at labels. You know what kind of labels we got today? Oh, she's a lesbian. Or, you know, you've seen the guy with tats all over his arms. We want to label people, okay? Oh, you've seen her, got dreadlocks. Divorced. Oh, you know her, she got pregnant before she's had a bunch of kids. Never been married. My question is, what's your label? What have they inflicted on you? What have they placed on you that ultimately, to be honest, in your heart of hearts, it bothers you? We do this to people. Oh, yeah, you know, real dark-skinned guy. Oh, she's real light-complected. He's heavy. You know, been married 3 or 4 times. Do you see what I'm talking about? Been over woman. But listen, I love what happens here in this story. You know, sometimes we want to just forget that Jesus called her out. Jesus called her out. I've done this. And let me just encourage you as a Christian, be led by the Spirit of God. I was in it's just been a while ago now, I was in a store in the community where we live. And I saw this guy when I pulled into the store parking lot. And I saw him, and he had an unusual gait about his walk, you know. He had an unusual gait. He had an unusual rhythm to his walk. And I quickly surmised that he was maybe dealing with some sort of paralysis, or, you know, he was some form of a degenerative disease or something in his skeletal system or something. Something had somewhat deformed him. And so I felt by the Holy Spirit, I felt that I was to go over to him and that I was to engage him in conversation. And so I went ahead and just went there. I go over to him and I said, hey, my name's Wallace. I said, obviously, you've got something going on in your body. Okay? I just cleared the air with him. I was just honest with him. I said, obviously, you've got something going on in your body. And he starts nodding. He says, yeah. And he began, and it affected his speech too. And he told me the story. And I said, listen, can I just pray for you? And I just reached out my hand and I laid it on him. I called him by name and I just whispered a gentle prayer. And I said, Father, touch him now in Jesus' name. Tears just burst from his eyelids and rolled down his cheek and into his beard. And he just sobbed. Finally, his head went over into my chest. And when I allowed him just to get it, I wasn't in a hurry. When I allowed him to get his composure, he looked at me and he said, what'd you say your name was? And I said, Wallace. He said, that's the first time in over 2 years that anybody has uttered a prayer over my life. And I thought about it. People pass this guy every day. And sometimes we don't notice them because we think that, you know, we don't want to draw attention to them. You know? But have you ever thought about this? That they get tired of being unnoticed? You get tired of being unnoticed. It's a challenge for people who, you know, who are faced with a challenge that you can see. But can I just admit to you again, second time I mentioned this now, a lot of you guys are loaded with challenges that we can't see. You're handicapped, but nobody can see it. You're bent over, but you're standing straight up. See? See? Nick's just motioning to me right now. Nick here on the front row. Nick loves for you to speak to him, okay? He does. And when you go over and speak to Nick, you better have a minute. Because he's going to grab you, okay? He's going to grab you, man. He's going to grab you because you know what? Nick loves you, okay? And he doesn't mind being noticed. But yet some of you are sitting here and we can't see your infirmity and you don't want to be noticed. Because you're covering it up. And you're hiding it. See? Now, I don't know how this woman felt when he did that, Jesus did that. I wonder if, you know, if it made her a little nervous or if she wanted to be noticed or she was used to just kind of being invisible. But she was a woman with no name. I would love to. I would just love to know the future of what happened to this woman afterwards. I wonder if she, you know, went out and just started a business and made pastries and had coffee. I wonder if she was the first Starbucks in Jerusalem. I have no idea. I wonder if they could associate, oh, she's the woman that used to be bent over, you know. I wonder about her future. I wonder what happened when God allowed her to just stand up and Jesus healed her and life had to change for her because now from what she experienced for 18 years is no more. Verse 14. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. The synagogue leader said to the people, I got 6 days for this kind of thing. So come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath. The big cheese of the synagogue gets all upset. Bent out of shape, talking about how inappropriate it is that his healing should take place on the Sabbath day. And Jesus doesn't have any patience with people who want to get in the way of him alleviating human suffering. The Lord answered them. He says what? You hypocrites, verse 15 and 16. Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or your donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, and notice what happens here. Now he addresses her with some sort of name attachment to it. This woman who's a what? Who's a daughter of Abraham. He now moves from bent woman or just woman, and he calls her the daughter of Abraham. She's the daughter of Abraham, which means that she has what? Trying to catch up with her. Blessings. She has tremendous blessings that are attached to her name. And I would submit to you that you are the same. You're sitting in here this morning and God has so many blessings attached to your name, assigned to your destiny. But some of you can't get beyond it because you've wrapped yourself in a cocoon and you're hiding the fact that you're bent over in some area in your life. This daughter of Abraham. Man, I wish I knew her future. Jesus sees you. Let's prepare to close here. Jesus sees where you are. Jesus sees the thing that you deal with. He sees the ugly stuff inside of us, ugly things that others have done to us. He sees the ugly things that we've done to ourselves. He sees the ugly things that we've done to other people. He sees the ugly things that were nobody's fault, that just happened. He sees all of that stuff. And just as he did for this woman, he wants to say to you today, come here. Come here. And he wants to do the same thing he did to this woman. He wants to lay his hand on you and allow you to stand up and get a different perspective about your life. Get a different perspective about your life. I come against suicidal thoughts in the name of Jesus right now. I bind the suicidal thoughts that have been rampant in the lives of your children, God. People that have thought about it, people that have gone in their mind and just visited what it would be like if we just ended it. I come against that in Jesus' name. And I release a spirit of peace. I release a spirit of contentment. In Jesus' name, amen. In a business transaction just this past week, I had a small item of business. Not going to tell you where it was or where I was, but it's just a small transaction of business. And I couldn't for the life of me right now tell you how this subject even came up, but I was standing in front of a total stranger. And she apparently felt like she could release this information to a total stranger. And she said, I think I just said, how are you today, or something. And I just listened, and she said, I'm not doing good. I thought, whoa, now I realize why I drove where I did to do this, because I didn't have to go to this specific place. And this is what she said to me. Total stranger, first time my eyes met hers. She looked at me and she said, I'm very frustrated. In fact, I'm so frustrated. She said, I've been married to him for 16 years. And I'm to the point that I'm just going to switch. I'm going to women rather than men. And I thought, wow, I just came here to do business here. And I said, don't do that. She said, what? I said, don't do that. I said, it can be done. I mean, there's people doing that all the time. There's exchanging sexual relationships, woman to woman, man to man. I said, don't do that. That's not God's design. And if you're here today and you're a homosexual, let me tell you, as a pastor of this church, I love you. I do. I love you. But that is not God's design. Well, I disagree with you. I don't care if you disagree with me. That's not really the issue. The issue is you are longing. You know why this young lady was so angry? Because what she really wanted, she wasn't getting. So angry that she said, I'm about ready to switch over. And I prophesied over this total stranger. I said, no, don't you switch. I said, in fact, the Spirit of God says to you this day, I have a man who's designed just for you. And he's waiting for you. And you're going to encounter him not many days hence. I said, did you say you were married? She said, I was. But I'm no longer married. I said, well, I just want to make sure what I just believe the Lord said to you. I just want to make sure that I didn't hear something wrong. She said, oh, no, I'm not married to him. But she said, I finally got out of it. And she said, I'm so frustrated, I can't find anybody else. I'm just so frustrated. I thought about in the last few days just crossing over. You know what I could say about this young lady? Even though she was standing up at the counter of that business doing business with me, even though she was standing up, hear me, church, she was bent over. She's bent over. Not for 18 years, 16. And I believe that her release, prophetically, God assigned me to go 45 miles down the road to do a type of business that I could have done somewhere else. God had me positioned there just to hear this hurting, bent over woman. And I don't use that as an example because I have judgment on these people. I don't. I invited a homosexual to Carpenter Shop Church just a few weeks ago that I knew he was a homosexual. And I looked at him, I said, what other church in this community do you think is going to welcome you? He said, what? I said, you heard what I said. What other church in this community do you think is going to welcome you? And people have labeled you. And can I say it to you this morning? People have labeled you. Okay? People have labeled you. Today is a freedom day. Today is a day of deliverance. I need ministers, please. Today is a day of deliverance for people. I love the words of this song. Could you put Reckless Love up there? What's up, Nick? I love you, buddy. I love the words of this song. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You've been so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You've been so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You've been so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You've been so good to me. And I love this part. There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. Lie you won't tear down. Coming after me. Okay. Because you know what? He's chasing you. He chases you because he loves you. He chases you because he loves you. Let me just tell you, people will fail you, but God will never fail you. God will never fail you. People will label you, but God will never label you. Amen. I want you in this room right now. I already told you a bit of my life this morning. What's up, big guy? Yeah, I got some other struggles too. But can I just ask you this morning, if are you here and there's an area you say, Pastor, I just feel like, man, I'm just bent over in this area. I'm just bent over and I really would like the Holy Ghost to help me stand up. Come on. Are y'all getting this message? I've bent over, but I really would like some help standing up. Because when he reaches down and says, stand up, then what happens is your destiny comes clear before you and you can start walking forward toward that destiny, fulfilling the very purpose in which you were born. See? Oh, yeah, you know him. Been married 3 or 4 times. Oh, you know her. She's the one, you know, she's got pierces. Don't people just love to identify you and label you? When, in the grand scheme of things, We are all the same. We're all the same. That's why I love you guys, man. Because I come here every week of my life and I've got sense enough to know that this is a miracle. This is a miracle. Old, young, black, white, mixed race, interracial marriages, tattoos, earrings, tore up clothes, don't have no money, ain't got no car, need a ride. Yes. And you're still here. You just keep coming. You just keep coming. So I want you to just respond to the altar this morning if you're bent over in some way. And you just say, Lord, I sure would like to stand up. I want you to stand up right now and just come. And let one of these precious friends of mine pray for you. Would you do that? Come on. 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 Stand up and come on. Stand up and come on. Go ahead and sing it, guys. Come on, Holy Spirit. I ask you to just to liberate the heart and the mind, the spirit of every person in this room right now, God. Just liberate them, Lord. Liberate them. I speak peace and liberty and freedom in this room right now. I speak peace over this room. I speak a spirit of honesty over this room right now, Lord. Stuff that bothers me, stuff that I deal with. That I would be honest, that I would come before someone this morning and I would just be honest. And I would get free today. I would get completely free today.
Yes.
Before I spoke a word,
come on, guys.
You were singing over me.
Well, I just pray right here where I'm seated. No, 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 no. No, get up, get up, get up. Just stand up. Let the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that Jesus touched them, okay? Let somebody touch you today. Let somebody lay their hand on you today. If they're praying with someone, just stand there for a second. They'll get to you. Hallelujah. 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 Listen, don't sit here in this, don't sit here in these pews. Don't sit here in these pews. When you get in your car, you're going to say, I wish I'd have gone forward. I wish. Don't wish. Get out of your seat. Get out of your seat. Don't wish.
Yes.
I'm telling you. Maybe you're just here and you feel like you've been labeled. Maybe you feel like you've been labeled. People label you. Don't sit in your seat. Get out of your seat and come. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.